You got that out of your system now, have you?
Yeah, I'm all done with it.
In your system, rather.
Yeah.
Are you just, like, addicted to the cloud?
Well, here's something interesting. This week, if they're talking about me vaping, I've finally gone to zero nicotine juice. So I don't actually know why I need to puff on it, because I was puffing on it like mad then. I haven't had it all day. I've been at my mate's. But there's no nicotine in it, so it's not as if I'm getting anything from it. But it's one of them.
It's like whenever we go for a trip away, it's like your bloody life support machine.
What do you call it? You do call it my life support machine, don't you?
that's what it looks like. And like if you don't have battery in it, or it ain't charged, or you forgot to charge it or something, it's like sheer panic on your face. I've got to go and get one. And then he gets those little disposable ones. He's in them. And yeah. I'm thinking, it's only a matter of time before the government steps in and sticks its nose in our business and changes those to paper ones.
Well, I don't like that. I try my hardest not to get disposable ones, because it's got a bloody battery in it and you're just throwing it away. It's pointless, isn't it?
Yeah. It's really bad for the environment.
But sometimes you just have to... You just need it, don't you? I don't know. Well, you don't smoke, do you? So,
no. I mean, I do occasionally. If I'm, like, out...
Hammered. And,
yeah. Then I'll have one. But I always feel 10 times worse the next day for it.
What? On a vape?
No, not a vape. I don't really... The nicotine vapes, I never got into that. They're, like... I don't know. Every time I've tried to inhale it, it just weird. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's never bothered me either, but I've never really smoked, so again, that doesn't bother me either. And I always think with smoking, I think the size of me, like, I clearly can't control my eating habits. God knows what I'd be like with something actually addictive.
if you smoked, it would suppress your appetite, so you wouldn't be as big.
So would like. Hardcore class A drugs, I would imagine.
Maybe you should.
That's
you
expensive. Should That's too expensive.
Get addicted to heroin, and you will. Yeah. The weight will fly off you.
your family and your job and your kids.
I'll mention that to my doctor and see what he says. It's like that.
You'll be able to live in the van.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the episode of Peep Show. It's a reverse of the episode of Peep Show when Super Hans comes off drugs and he just goes running everywhere.
Oh, yeah. And then he turns up with a plank of wood. Is that one?
Yeah, that one, yeah.
And he just hands it over to him, yeah. Josh don't know what we're talking about, does he? No,
nobody else will either. But it's a class show, Peep Show.
I did hear mention of a van. So
I tried to segue into that, yeah.
Yeah, I picked up on that and stole your segue.
Because when did you last hear? Did you know I'd got it?
I knew you got it. Oh, okay. I think it was the show before last.
Yeah.
I've actually seen it in the flesh as well now, Josh.
What do you think, Bowen?
Yeah, really nice. Really nice. Like, there's a tad bit of jealousy there, because, I mean, I've got a real nice van, but it's a crew cab, but it ain't got all the gear that his has. And it's not actually my van, it's a company van. And it's like, oh, I genuinely, you know what I'm like, I've got a load of crap, like, I've just collect shit. I could genuinely live in it. I felt like I could genuinely live in that.
I could as well.
Become one of them Instagram vloggers or something, yeah, doing van all the shorts. Yeah.
I think, because we went out in it about 10 days ago, just me and Layla went out and we stopped overnight somewhere. Not wild camping, obviously, because that wouldn't be deemed legal. But we went somewhere and we stopped over, and it was good, but we didn't like cook or anything like that. It was literally purely just we went and slept and then come back the next day. But we just got back actually, we're recording this. We went Sunday morning. We went over to the Cotswolds. We played Cotswold View. Me and Kay. Kay never played it before. And I tell you what, Bowen, mate, she's getting all right, man.
I was gonna say I didn't enjoy the course the first time I played it.
No, but like, I mean, it is a very hard course. The score wasn't particularly brilliant or anything.
What did
but
she
like
get?
the shots, she's getting better, man. Really,
what,
like,
what
a
did
lot
she
better.
Get, though? What did she get?
It was like 30 over or something like
oh, I'm
that.
I'm safe for now. I'm safe for now.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, she had, like, she hit the top band for a throw-in from about, I would say about 100 feet away.
Nice.
The Luna, and like she thought it was in, and it's like she threw like about 4 or 5 berg shots, which landed from about 70 to 80 feet away, and it like landed underneath the basket for a tap in, and like it was, she was getting like a few shots went wayward. Obviously, that's where the 30 over come in, but like you could actually see like Jesus, there's a bit of progression here, and I think she could see that in it herself as well. So I think that sort of, even though it was, weren't the best of scores, I think she thought, I'm like, I'm obviously getting better because I'm like, I'm actually doing what I'm meaning
she's
to
doing
do.
All right, but, yeah, very good.
Yeah, so
very
so
good.
We did, we played that on Sunday. We went to Chipping Norton for a little bit and went stopped near there. Again, not wild camping. And we cooked some food. We cooked breakfast in the morning. And then
how was
we
sleeping
went...
arrangements?
It was alright. It was alright.
I'm not bothered about what you fucking did. I want to know how the van was.
Kay slept upstairs with Layla because we felt like Dylan's a bit too small to go upstairs and like in case he falls out or something.
And you drew the short straw and had
basically,
to sleep with him downstairs.
He's a pain in the ass, isn't he? And it got to the point where he just kept sitting up and I'm going, Dylan, lie down. And he's going, Mama. And I said, she's outside, mate. She's outside. And he's going, I said, come on, go to sleep. He's going, no. And I was going, go to sleep. No. Like this. And I was like, I just went, Dylan, go to bed. And he just lay down and like sulked and then fell asleep. So it weren't too bad.
Duffy's sleep tape comes out and it's just him going, go to sleep, go to sleep.
And then we went to Stow-on-the-Wold and a country park on the way back in Evesham. It's quite nice.
Evesham Country Park. I don't think I've been to that because I work in Evesham, don't I?
Yeah. There's like about, there's probably about 30 shops there.
It's off the ring road, isn't it?
Beyond the KFC, yeah. And it's got like a little train and everything. It was nice.
What? That's it?
Yeah, like a little light railway.
I feel like you're winding me up here.
No, I'm not, honestly.
I drive
past
that every day. I'm going to have a look at it tomorrow.
It was decent. So we did that. Then we just got back, but we took the dog with us as well, and he was all right in it. So
was he a pain in the arse?
No, he wasn't too bad, actually. He was a pain when we were playing disc golf, because, you know, on the Skins matches, Luke Humphrey's goodest boy. I can't think what the dog's name is. Hogan, that's it. You know how Hogan is? Imagine the sheer opposite of Hogan when you're playing disc golf. So, literally, you throw a disc, and he, like, goes... and like almost pulls Kay's arm out of a shoulder out of a socket trying to chase down the frisbee, and like it's just horrendous, and I get
That's
so frustrated
for
with
training him before you play disc golf.
I know,
to
yeah.
catch frisbees.
Well, it's like, yeah, we're training him to catch it, and also like when we're over in the field I'll get him to go and retrieve it for me so I don't have to keep moving, which is good in that respect, but he doesn't know the difference between that and me actually trying to play.
Field work and game time. You don't know the difference.
No. It's stupid.
You need two dogs.
It would be awesome, wouldn't it, if you could just walk around with the dog and, like, you could take him on a walk all the time playing. But
and,
he's just
he could be
stupid.
Your caddy. Is there a PDGA rule about having a dog as a caddy?
No. Just under 16-year-olds. Elaine King the Grass would probably find something.
Find something, yeah.
Okie doke. We had a good time.
Shall we start the show then? Because we haven't started the show yet.
Yeah, no. We're all right. We've got quite a lot to cover. So we have like 1 week off and all hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
So if we haven't got anything to talk about tonight, we might as well pack in. So should we start it?
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, it's time for In the Chains. The UK-based podcast for amateur disc golfers. Get ready for course reviews, disc reviews, and the latest news and updates from the disc golf world. Your hosts will also talk about their own progression and have a lot of fun along the way. And now, here they are, two Brits and one Yang. Let's get started.
Welcome back, everybody, to a brand new episode of In the Chains. And on the tee box tonight with me, as always, we have Mr. Joshua Birmingham.
Back in the house.
And Mr. Thomas Bowen.
Guten Tag.
I just wonder, he always says, as always, but then, like, some of us are missing sometimes, and, like...
Generally, or should I say, and on the tee box tonight with me... As you generally hear, no, that doesn't make sense, but...
60% of the time, he's here all the time. Josh Birmingham.
Have you two ever recorded without me?
No, you're the linchpin, Bowen.
I'm the only one that's been on every episode. Yeah,
you're the linchpin.
There we go. You never thought you'd hear that, did you?
You're holding it all together. How is this possible?
Someone's got to, ain't they?
Right.
These shoulders are getting tired, though, lads. That's all I'm going
to
say.
Shall we, like I alluded to earlier, we've got tons to talk about, but shall we, as we always, go through what we've been up to? So, shall we start with yourself, Josh? I see a couple of photos online of you getting the young bloods into the sport.
Yeah. It took 4.5 years, but I finally got my missus to come out to the course and see what is Croydon Disc Golf. And like halfway through the round, she's like, oh, this park's really pretty. She's like, why didn't you ever invite me out here? And I was like, she kind of looked at me because she knows I've asked her like 1,000 times. But it was actually my boss was out playing the day before and he sent me a photo of him and his wife and the baby. And I said, look, I said, Tabby goes out and plays with Dan. Why don't you play with me ever? And then the next morning, like right after breakfast, she's like, well, do you want me and Silas to go and play disc golf with you? And I was like, yeah.
Josh, you should have said no.
Well, it's like, you know, taking her to the local pub, isn't it? It's like, well, now she's probably just going to come all the time.
And exactly. Ruin my life. Exactly.
Now, it was fun. I did find that I wasn't shooting as well because I couldn't be asked to like take it seriously in front of them. Yeah. You know, it just felt
you didn't
weird.
Want to you didn't want to show up and pull off crazy throws and things.
I mean, not really, because I don't think she would. Well, she might get it, but if I threw something really great, she'd just be, "Oh, that was nice," you know, or like, you know, just like it doesn't really matter. But
if she turns around and goes, "Right, you say what was how many did you score there?" and you went, "Oh, I scored 2," and she goes, "Oh, 14," she might think. Bloody Ellie! How did he get that in two?
Brilliant.
She didn't even play.
Did she not?
No, we were pushing the baby around. And he pretty much slept the whole time in the pram, and then she just doesn't. She threw it one time, like 90 degrees the wrong way, and she just never recovered.
Has she got no interest in it? It was nice whatsoever.
Nah, not really. I mean, she likes watching me play, but. The good thing about it was that after hole 6, the baby fell asleep and she packed a whole like picnic. And so like we stopped and had like a half hour lunch break in the middle of a round. It felt like cricket, you know, it was like, we need to like start doing this at tournaments. Like every 6 holes, we stop for snacks and then it'd be a whole lot better. But so that was nice. So they got to see that. And then, of course I shoved him in the basket on the 18th for a photo. So that when he's the when he's in the Hall of Fame, he can say it all started here.
When you say shoved, you gently placed him, didn't you?
Yeah, I just set him on like the rim of the basket and just like held him there, and he like grabbed onto a chain.
Okay,
and just like held it.
When Josh like, said shoved, what he means is chucked. He meant chucked.
Oh, I thought he meant putted him. Yeah, putted him.
Yeah,
it's a good job because he'd have missed if not.
I'm not used to the flight, you know, of the baby. But yeah, I made a pretty good joke about I found this baby, no name, no number. Got some pretty good comments on it.
Typical dad joke, that is, Josh.
Well, you can get away with it now, can't you? Because you say, well, I am a dad.
Yeah.
And the dad bod, everyone seems to notice.
I thought you're looking good. You're looking better than me, isn't it?
I mean, I don't know, man.
There's Maui.
Alright. No, I'm glad this isn't a live show. Everyone's just got their bellies out.
Duffy, what have you got? Something else out?
What?
Oh, that was a crude joke. Okay. I'll leave it like that as well.
Don't worry.
I
was going to say it and then thought that's probably a bit too far on the podcast.
Did you get him to chuck it in the basket?
No. No, he doesn't really throw things yet. He just drops
He's not quite old enough yet, is he?
Yeah, he's not even 6 months yet.
Give him another year and he'll be dropping.
Whenever we take Dale, like on this weekend and Sunday, he likes to run up to the basket and reach up, hold the top of the band and like sling it over like this as hard as he can.
Slam dunk it
in basically. And he loves doing that. And he has to do it on every hole. I don't think he understands what we're doing, but he likes doing that anyway.
So he slows you down.
Basically.
He's got to get it in.
He does it in lifeboat.
I like your oldest, but your youngest, there's just no point to it.
That's what I think. That's what I'm beginning to think. I'm beginning to think as well. But I'm sure
you have to give
there'll
him
be
away.
Some point to him in like maybe next 6-7 years, something like that, I would have thought.
Well, when we start making our clothing line,
get him to do it. Nimble fingers.
First one in a sweatshop car.
Nimble fingers.
Yeah. Still handmade
in Kidderminster.
He'll be like, my fingers hurt. He'll be like, well, that's too bad. You just pulled landscaping duty. you never seen Happy Gilmore? The grandma's in the nursing home, and Ben Stiller is the nurse. Yeah, and they got him they're actually doing sweatshops with old people. He's making them knit blankets, and he sells them on the black market or something. And she's like, "My fingers hurt." And he's like, "Well, that's too bad because you just pulled landscape duty, Grandma."
Happy Gilmore is a really good film.
And then she said, "Can I trouble you for a glass of warm milk?" He said, "You can trouble me for a glass of shut the hell up." So good.
I like when Happy Gilmore's coach has a wooden, he's only got one hand.
Chubbs.
He's had it bitten off by an alligator. And this is not me laughing at disabled people. It was in a different era. But he's got a wooden hand and it gets run over and turns into splinters.
That's stupid.
It is hilarious. We can't talk about this, right?
Anyway, go watch. Happy
so, have you been up to anything else since we've been off, Josh?
Do we want to leave this for the news? We'll leave.
Have
it
you
for
got
the
it?
News.
In the, you cover it in
all
the
right,
news.
We'll leave it for the news.
Well, I've left a segment for Josh to explain because I couldn't be bothered to research it.
There's nothing else. Nothing else of interest other than the main topic. But I played again today and. Went 6-6.
Nice.
What and bag then, tag you got?
12.
Ooh.
What?
12. Same
Did
tag
you,
I had last time.
I thought you had two last time.
No, I think I lost one and two, and then now I have 12 somehow. But then Connor showed up with the number one tag as I was leaving today. So I think he knew I was there, and he just waited.
Running scared, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, so... shot 6-6. Haven't been on that score in over a year, and then finished 7-under. It's terrible.
terrible at 7-under. Oh, such a solid round that was. Fucking
yeah. Up. But Adam Keene was there. We had a nice battle. He was trying to get my tag, and he ended up shooting 5-under. So I had to kind of watch out.
Yeah, you have to do something. You couldn't just rest on your laurels.
No. What about you guys? I know, Duffy, you just said you were in the band, Bowen. What have you been up to?
I played cricket Saturday.
You're on the first team. I was listening to the show.
Yeah, it didn't do a lot. We lost.
Did you do better than the other game?
Yeah, I played well. I played in the first team. I got my first wicket for the club last week. Didn't have to bat. We won that game. I didn't need to bat. This week, I did all right. Didn't do too well batting, but we lost.
Was your score batting?
It's one of them. Zero again. I've got a mental block at the moment, but I went for an indoor net session with my mate last night, and we get the bowling machine on. And the problem is, it's all the mental game. I was shaking before going in because I build it up too much. When I'm in the nets, the bowling machine's bowling at like 70 mile an hour, 75 mile an hour, which is quick. And I'm just there hitting it. But I've got in my head now how I'm going to play it.
The difference though, it's like baseball where it's a lot harder to hit a live pitcher because you never know where the ball's going to come out.
But you don't with the bowling machine because my mate's adjusting it every ball.
Okay.
How are you getting out?
I got bowled both times because first game, I've only batted twice out of three games. First game, he was bowling slow and I kept coming down the wicket trying to defended it twice and then got bowled because I was coming down the wicket and I can't hit the ball. And I'm losing my line. Yeah, no, he wasn't. He was just bowling it slow.
And what's he doing, going under the bat? Well, or just missing it completely?
Just missing it with the outside edge. Getting on the wrong line of it and just missing it. Saturday, he was bowling at medium pace, so not too quick, not too slow. Was defending it solidly, nicely. I was in for five balls. Defended it four times nicely. I thought, I've got to score here. So come down the pitch again stupidly, miss it, get bowled. And I'm like shaking my head, like, why have I done it? Like, but
so how many balls did you face the first one?
Three. I know, but like, I'm not bothered because I'm bowling. I do both. I can bat and bowl, so I bowl as well.
Is it like baseball where like pitchers don't usually aren't good at bat?
No, you can do both. I'm mediocre at both.
In cricket, Josh, you tend to have batsmen, you tend to have bowlers, and you'll have all-rounders who do both. So the bowlers tend to go towards the bottom end of the batting order.
That's like pitchers in baseball now, but yeah. It's not official, but...
So out of 11 people, I'd bat about number 8.
Yeah.
I like to bat between 6 and 7, but because I'm playing first team, I'm batting a little low down. I'll bat 8.
And you can't hit
a ball. I'm playing this weekend.
The pad is this fucking big.
I'm playing this weekend. I've got a new cricket bat, actually. It's in the van. But I'm playing this week. I'll be fine this week if I have to bat.
You know, the next time you step up to bat, you just need to go to your happy place.
Well, I know what I've got to do now. I know what I've got to do. And, like, I just got too stressed. I'm all right now. But I want to talk about a couple of weeks ago, because we haven't been on for a couple of weeks. Me and Duffy went to Arrow Valley, didn't we?
No, you're not. This isn't you trying to tell me that you beat me.
No. I wasn't going to say that. You were saying how well Kay had improved. How well have I improved?
I've said it for a few weeks now, haven't I? Like,
I had that band hit. It went in, didn't it, Duff? It went in. Josh, I don't know how to explain it. I wasn't watching it properly, to be honest. Duffy will explain it better. I was a good like 50 odd metres away, so like 150 feet, and it sort of, what did it do? I couldn't see it properly. It bounced.
Go on. Yeah, go on. Just caught the edge of the chains, and it looked like it was going to go in and sort of just fell out rather than falling in, basically. But
like a yeah, right side.
It hit the cage. So it landed on the cage and bounced up, didn't
it? Oh yeah, I'm getting mixed up with something else. Yeah, I remember. So it hit the bottom cage, but then it sort of like hit it. Imagine the disc is flying through the air with the nose pointing up. It hit the top band, shot up, and it looked like it was just going to come straight down. Like, it turned vertical, basically, and it looked like it was just going to come down and, like, slide into the basket. And it just, like, hit the chain, like, hit the band again, and, like, flopped out rather than flopping in. It was a bit gutted, but...
It caught the back edge as it was going in. It was like...
Yeah.
And then I think I had a chain hit for an ace, didn't I? With the slammer, but we couldn't see the basket. But I didn't hear a noise, but Duffy heard the noise. And then when we went round there,
right underneath
it was literally under the basket.
It's playing much better though, Josh. Nice. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised, I think, because he started throwing a lot of forehand stuff, and he uses a disc called Pyro. You ever heard of that, Josh?
Oh yeah.
From MVP, and he's not like before. He was throwing it like a cricket ball, and he was trying to throw every disc that he's got at like maximum power and like no form whatsoever. Whereas now they're coming out straight, and like they're actually like fading, like how you'd expect the disc to actually fly, sort of thing. World's better, absolute world's better.
So you think. We need to get one more match in with Dennis.
Before he leaves.
Maybe we could win.
Maybe.
Yes.
Maybe.
Yes, we could win. We need to sort this.
Maybe.
I know. Well, we keep talking about it. He's going to be gone.
End of October.
Have you got any... What days do you work? Do you work 4 days a week?
Only three actual days. And then I teach a couple other days, but I can always move that
stuff. Might be able to do a Friday.
Yeah. Because we've got a Friday that we're doing in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, but we won't be able to do that one. But we'll discuss it off air, and we'll try and get... Because we've got a video idea.
We don't want Josh at that one.
Which I come up with a while back, and we just haven't got around to filming yet. Logistically,
it's going to be hard.
But like, it's going to be a class video if we can get it done, innit? We'll try and get that sorted off air, and we'll try and get something done before Dennis goes back, and we'll have the final videoed round of the four of us. Okie doke. So we've had a little discussion.
Did you do anything?
No, not really.
Did you do anything?
Only what
else?
We've discussed when we played and Cotswold View with Kay. But that's it. So let's head over to the news. But before we do, we'll just have a quick word from our sponsor, Upper Park.
Since 2011, Upper Park Disc Golf has focused on disc golf bags and accessories with unique styles, innovative designs, and unmatched comfort. They use cutting-edge design techniques and durable outdoor materials with a lifetime guarantee, so you can focus on what really matters, keeping it in the chains. Whether you're a Bowen or a seasoned pro, Upper Park has the bag to fit your needs. Go to upperparkdiscgolf.com today and save 10% with our code INTHECHAINS10. Now back to the show.
Bowen's fake news.
Right, so on with the news. My first piece that I need to say is an apology, because I made some accusations 2 weeks ago that weren't strictly true. Now, the bloke's still a douchebag, but he hasn't donated to conversion therapy charities.
Who are we talking about?
Nate Heinhold, yeah. He does... Ledgestone does a great job of supporting St. Jude's, which is a children's... Is it hospital or hospice, Josh?
Yeah.
So I do apologise because I made some quite serious allegations last week, 2 weeks ago. It's not true.
Did you not say allegedly?
I did say allegedly, but then I...
Then you're fine. You can say anything you want.
No, because I still feel bad. But the bloke's... The bloke's still a massive douchebag.
Why is he a douchebag?
Like, because there's comments about homosexuality and things that just, maybe he's allowed to believe what he wants, but I don't think it's in line with what most people think. And to me, he's not my kind of person. Right, okay. Like, I'm very much live and let live, and he's very much
live and let die.
Gay people are sinners. I'm a Christian. Blah blah blah. You're not allowed to do that. When I think times have moved on, to be honest. So,
well, at least you've cleared that. Right. So, any defamation court cases, they'll be able to play this this podcast back, and you should be fine.
You two are in the clear anyway, because Josh wasn't here, and it was strictly my opinion and no one else's. So, but I still apologize.
I didn't even know. Nobody really liked him, to be honest.
Yeah. Well,
no one likes him, do they?
I don't know.
He done some. I was reading on Reddit. I know that's not a place it should go to, but like one of the young lads who was playing, he pulled him up for, did he have a cotton shirt on or not? Because there's some rules about you're not allowed to wear a cotton shirt. And it was just clearly a move to try and belittle him in front of everyone. And I just thought, why would you bother doing that? Like, he just, I don't think he's a very nice person.
I mean, I don't know. I didn't know about that, but...
Yeah. We'll leave it there. I've done my apology. I don't want to have something to apologise for next week. We don't want it to turn into the Nate's apology corner, do we?
God.
Nuts.
So, yeah. So, the next thing is the beef that we found out about the Macbeth and Brody beef, didn't we?
Yes. I think so.
It turns out...
Did you watch it on Brody's show?
I watched it on, what's it called? Debate Night. It was on Debate Night, wasn't it?
Okay.
And I listened to it, and basically, Brody moved from Texas to, where is it, Virginia?
Virginia, yep.
And then Paul suddenly said, oh, I can't do foundation anymore, 3 months after Brody had moved. So he would have known that he was ditching foundation. But then, to be fair, the way I'd see it, well, it's one less person you've got to split the profits with, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And, like, Paul's probably like, oh, yeah, I can handle Brody occasionally on this Zoom call. But then he moved to town. He's like,
he's a little bastard.
I'm done. But, I mean, it was probably disappointing for him to show up and think, okay, now we're all here, let's do this. And Paul's like, nah.
I'll see you later.
So how much of that was... Because I haven't paid any attention to it, because basically I couldn't care less about either of them. How much of that has been put down to the fact that Paul's not been playing very well? As to why he's dropping out? Is that what's been said or not?
Nothing was really said. Nothing was really said about that. About Paul. Well, he sort of alluded to the fact that Paul's taken on too much himself. Now, whether that could be construed as he's not playing very well, so he needs to focus on his game more. But Paul's got his own foundation, hasn't he? So I wonder if there was a clash. Not a clash, but Paul thought, well, I'm running foundation. I'm doing this. Like, do you know what I mean?
I feel like the Paul Macbeth Foundation is cooler in the way that they're putting in courses in all these like countries and things like that. Like,
you would do because you're a hipster, but like they're putting them in shithole countries that no one's ever going to play them. So it's pretty pointless.
I think the communities that they're putting them in, it's good for them to have something for the kids to do that's constructive.
It is, but like, if you're putting it in a third world country where you've got to worry about feeding your family before buying fucking discs, it's pointless, isn't it?
Yeah, but then you got Eagles Wings and places like that that send just boxes of like frisbees, and it's one of the cheapest sports you can have. And it's like, if you can get the baskets in, then you're done. Really,
that's bullshit. I mean, that is bullshit, no. Josh. Do not tell me it's one of the cheapest sports.
Let me rephrase it then. What Josh meant to say was, it can be one of the cheapest sports to play, which is true.
Especially
but
when
it never turns out that way, as we all know.
You only need one frisbee. I had one frisbee.
No, you don't.
to just enjoy the game. No, you're not trying to make them professionals from day one.
Why do they need baskets then, Josh?
So that they can tell if they're throwing it in the thing or not. And then if you have one frisbee and you bash it into a tree, then that frisbee's not going to last you very long either.
Why do they even need frisbees then? Why can't they just pretend they're throwing them into a basket?
I don't know what the point you're making is anymore. But
he's being facetious.
No, I don't think so. But yeah. But also, anyway. Apparently something else happened personal that Brody won't go into, but it was one of their associates, and he asked Paul about it, and Paul denied it. And then he found out from another associate who was even closer that Paul did know about it and was covering for the other person.
So, Bowen's either going to produce an apology next week, because he has got his own theory on it, as you can well imagine, or is just going to blanket and pretend to try and move on. And him waving his arms suggests
we're
going to
move on.
We're going to move on.
I'll tell you off air.
That's enough. That's enough, Brody beef.
I'll tell you off air
to last me a lifetime.
Right, so I'm going to skirt over this one because it's probably not the most tasteful thing, but UC from Discmania has had to apologise. I saw you cringing then, Josh. He solicited something from someone.
Services.
For some reason, has had to come out and apologise. I'm guessing he got caught.
But
it's illegal in Sweden.
He's just trying to get ahead of the news.
He got charged, didn't he?
Did he get charged over it? There we go.
I think it might have been some sort of undercover thing.
I imagine the email or the message that was put out on all the social medias and stuff was to, like Josh said, to get ahead of the curve and to distance themselves away from that, basically.
But he is Discmania, so I don't understand it.
He is, and he's also like the main person for like he runs Euros and you know all that stuff. So he's
well,
like,
he don't anymore, Josh.
Well, he might not. And they were talking about having Worlds, you know, in Europe in the next couple of years, and. I feel like that's going to slow down because now someone else is going to have to fill those shoes.
Is that going to be a negative for the disc golf world, disc golf in Europe?
Not for disc golf specifically, but he was the guy that would have ran it. So it's like, and I'm sure there's someone in the wings that can do it. It may set
get
it back
the man
a little
who
bit,
get
but,
the man who stood up to Nico involved.
But I mean, I feel like he could stay away for like, you know, 6 months to a year, come back, and then still run events. You know, it's like it was a huge mistake.
It was not connected to disc golf in any way, other than the fact that it was not like
he was like, oops, I didn't mean to do that. He obviously meant to do what he did, but I'm just saying it is a mistake on his part to do that.
Is it? Like, in the grand scheme of things...
It's illegal.
But, like, I'm live and let live. As long as no one was exploited, it's two adults. Who really gives a flying fuck?
I think it's
pointless.
We don't know who these people are that are doing this, if they
agreed,
are they forced into it? Have they, you know, who knows?
Agreed, but like, I've never solicited anything, but it's one of them. It doesn't really matter. There is issues with sex trafficking, etc. But if it's like consenting adults, who really cares?
Well,
there's obviously a standpoint of it's a family matter because he's got a wife and kids, hasn't he?
That's the biggest deal, right?
It is what it is. Do you know what I mean? It's not really a disc golf matter.
I would agree with you there. I'm just saying, just let him clear it up, do what he needs to do on his end, and then I'm sure that I don't have an issue with him coming back and running tournaments or being part of Discmania. Like, it's not turned me off of Discmania because it has nothing to do with me or Discmania. That is a personal choice of his. So he's gonna pay the price for it, and then that's pretty much it, right?
Pay the price of what?
I'm just saying whatever Sweden's price is for him getting busted there.
Yeah. I suppose.
As soon as he handles that, I mean, he just comes back into the fold and like continue doing really good things for the sport because he's done a lot of good for the sport.
Yeah. So, it's one of them. The next thing, and I think this is another one of them nothing stories because no one really knows what's happened. From what I was reading over the weekend, no one really knows what's gone on. So it could be, and people have said it's a nothing story, other people have said it is something. The Paige Pierce thing, yeah. She got escorted off the court from the country club. Is this Emporia?
Yeah,
this is for the Worlds, isn't it? So this is for the Worlds that starts tomorrow, or has it already started?
It starts this week, yeah.
Yeah, so...
It starts on Wednesday, doesn't it?
Is it Wednesday?
Yeah, it's 5 days, right? Wednesday through Sunday.
Are you stirring the fucking
cup? Yeah, sorry. I was like talking and stirring, which is like the worst thing you could do for editing it now.
Really? Well,
I could have just talked and then stirred, and then it would have been fine.
There's no editing we can do with that, Josh. We can't just remove sound. Okay.
The editing's on me this week. I'm paying the price.
Leave it in, please. Please leave that in. I felt like it was crucial.
but no, the Paige thing is, it's a nothing burger, right? It's just like, she thought she could go practice. Someone there gave her a key to a golf cart that didn't know she wasn't supposed to be there. She goes out. I think one of the club members says, hey, you can't be out here doing that right now. And they probably had like a little riff back and forth for a second, like, yes, I can, you know, probably not a big deal. Apparently, she wasn't even escorted. They asked her to leave, and she left. And then the cops were called to the scene for who knows why.
I heard she pulled a gun on someone in another threat.
Allegedly. I mean, she's from Texas, so.
And told her to fuck off. They said, you can't be here, and she just said, fuck off, and didn't say anything else to them.
Well, I was listening to another show, and they were saying, like, oh, yeah, well, surely this is going to be in the back of her mind during the tournament. I'm like, no, it's fucking not. It's not a big deal. People are making it more than it is, and maybe for that reason she'd think about it. But I don't think while she's standing there making a putt, she's thinking, oh, man, I'm so sad I got kicked off this course. That's it's not happening. She's just going to go out there and kick ass.
If it was any of us, I imagine it would be, sorry, mate, you're not really meant to be here right now. Okay, no worries, we'll come up. I imagine that's a story. Sorry about that, didn't realise we weren't meant to be here. Yeah. I imagine that's it. But a lot of the ways get blown up.
Maybe she just flashed the rings a few times, like, I can be anywhere I want. I hope she would have said that.
I don't know Paige's character outside of disc golf, but I imagine it was just like, oh, right. No worries.
She seems like she'd be really nice until you disagreed with her.
Yeah, but she's only about 5 foot tall, so I'd just be like, go away. I'm only joking. I'm not condoning violence to anyone.
Anyway, yeah, it doesn't sound like anything.
So, you might have to edit that out, Josh, because it sounded like I said I'd knock her out.
Hardest man in disc golf takes down Paige Pierce. One-on-one.
Right, shall we get to the big news?
Yes, please.
I should have put this in last week, and I'm going to focus on the North Fife Open MA3 category at St Andrews. We had a winner. Who was the winner, Duff? Can you tell me?
No.
He's from Scotland. Josh, can you tell me?
It was...
in MA3.
Oh, MA3. It weren't Peter O'Brien.
It was Peter O'Brien.
Brilliant.
I told him he'd get a mention. Oh, so good. I'm going to say he's sandbagging because he's the highest rated.
I was going to say Sandbagger. Anytime anyone wins an MAA something, I just call him a Sandbagger because the next thing you have to do is move up.
Unfortunately, you've never called me one, Josh. And you never will.
He was the highest rated in the division by 11 points. And then
that's not too bad.
Then after that, it was 35 points. And then after that, it was 99 points. So,
oh, I see.
You're a sandbagger, Pete. He was dead excited because he's like, you've got to mention it now. He messaged me and said, you've got to mention it now. Because sometimes
it's a bit of a sweet and sour mention because it's like, yeah, well done, sandbagger.
Yeah. He's acquired a few more discs since the last time we played with him, and he was only throwing.
He's not.
He had four discs, Josh, and they were all Yikun twin swords, every single one, and a putter.
12 speed. He had something else.
Four of the same high speed driver, and then a putter.
He just kept going. The 12 speed, and just kept throwing the 12 speed.
That is. Quite yeah. The toolbox.
He's still, and the thing is, he still beat me by quite a few shots.
It's like if you were a construction or a decorator, you had four sledgehammers and a piece of like 180 grade sandpaper in your toolbox. That's all you had.
Exactly. But he gets the job done.
So maybe the discs he's acquired have made the difference.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'd hope so, but he's a good lad anyway.
But congratulations. We're just kidding.
Yeah, we love him really. And when we're back up there, we'll come and see him again. He can take us into pubs where we're going to get stabbed again, can't he?
I want to go to the Eagle with the local.
Yeah.
Where were
we? The Eagle?
Was it the Eagle host? Yeah.
Have you got a photographic memory?
Not even close, but... I do remember, really good times, and I had a really good time at the Eagle. So
it wasn't the Eagle we were at.
You guys said it was a different one because I said that, and you at the time you didn't think so, but I think I've said it so many times now you think that's what it is.
It wasn't the Eagle. It was a castle. It was a castle inn, wasn't it?
Bowen was concerned that he was going to get stabbed whilst watching Liverpool game, and I was getting pretty arsy because they weren't winning in the final. They did win in the end.
The average age in there was... They probably couldn't even hold a knife up. They were that old, so...
Oh, wow.
But, well done, Pete. Anyway, we'll come and see you again soon. He did threaten him to come down here, didn't he? Threatened. So I think he should come down here first.
He threatened. Yeah. Right. Who else we got? Yeah.
We got a Quarry Park Open, which was the 28th Quarry Park Open, which was won by Ben Holding.
Oh, yeah.
Quite comfortably, six shots in the lead to Sam Passard. And then Ben Jeffrey in third.
Nice.
And then the only reason he won that is because Josh wasn't there, but we'll get on to why Josh was somewhere else in a bit. I'm only joking, Ben. Well done, because you won by quite a way. Phil Blunt beat Paul Studdart in MP40. Derek Robbins obviously won MP50, and he beat John Pat Myers. MA1 was won by Michael Sharkey, with the one and only Stan Valentine grabbing second place, and nice. He just pipped Harry Messenger to the post, who came in third. So, well done to them. Nate Simmons won MA2 with Maximilian Tobias. No, because it's...
Is he a never nude?
Just give us the initials. Maximilian...
Tobiasiewicz.
Oh my god.
Tobias Witch.
Yeah.
Tobias Hitch.
Tobias Witch. Yeah, Tobias Hitch. There we go. And Jeremy Keown in third.
Nice.
MA3 was Joe Butler, Steve Nolan and Kieran Buckley, and MA4 was Connor Harvey Ward, Tim Smith and Ross Davis. Finally, MJ15, Peter Dowse beat Zach Bowles. So well done to all of those. We had the, we had the what's it name at Des Moines, didn't we? The, what was it?
Des Moines Challenge?
Yeah, the Des Moines Challenge. I'm going to blast through this because we'll go to you at the end, Josh. We had Simon Lazat in first place, Robert Borridge in second, and then joint third was Emerson Keith, Kevin Jones, Joel Freeman and Evan Smith.
Coincidentally, Joel Freeman come up as a Facebook through Joel Freeman up as a Facebook friend suggestion today.
Yeah, he did it for me as well, which is weird. And I also had I had someone else as well, another pro. Marweed came up, Marweed came
what
up.
What do you guys think about friending pros that you don't know personally?
That's what Instagram and Twitter's for, isn't it? Like Facebook should be for close friends, really, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
FPO was won by Christian Tatar with Evelina Salonen and Macy Veldiaz, I'm guessing.
Veldiaz. Nice.
So, well done to those three. The big news. We had a spy in the huddle. Is that the right saying?
Yep.
Spy in the... And it was you, Josh, at the World Teams Championships. Tell us a bit about it.
Yeah, it was good. 25 countries all came to Croatia and had a match play style competition where it was like singles and doubles. And it was two courses. And they were split into two each. So you had like 9 hole battles for like the first 2 days. So it was like a match play. 9 holes is very quick. Like if you go down, you know, 3 in the first 3 holes, you don't have much time to really make that back up. So it was a bit of pressure starting out, but we did really well. We pretty much beat everyone in our pool for the first couple of days. And then as things tightened up and the better teams started playing each other, we played France to stay in the top 8 and had a really close battle with them and ended up losing that. And so then we could only win 9th or 10th against Austria, who beat us last year at the Euro Championships. It took gold and we took silver. So it's kind of fitting that we kind of met up for our last little competition. And it was another really tight, I think I'd say tighter battle for that one. And then Austria ended up winning. I think those 8 points you could get per round. And I think we went like 5-3, or they went 5-3 basically. Yeah. So, and then 2 of the matches were like basically a draw down to the last one, and then we lost the whole. So it was like it was a lot closer than it looked on paper. So we took 10th out of 25 for the team. That was pretty good. Notable mentions: we had Natalie Eakin on the team. Smashed it.
From Ace?
She'd never been to like an event like that before. Yeah, from Ace. She smashed it. Made a few circle 2 putts in competition and just hitting lines and just, you know, ecstatic there. And, you know,
that's cool.
She and I were, she and I were partners in a few doubles rounds and we had a really good go. I think she won 2 of her matches and we tied together. We tied against Canada.
You dragged her down.
She wouldn't have won without you, but the one with she drew.
So we drew the first one against Canada. Just our match singularly. The team lost to Canada, but we tied Canada on their doubles, and they ended up winning the bronze medal. So for us, that was huge.
That went over his head, didn't it?
No, I get what he means. Like you lost to a side that did pretty well.
But Josh, Natalie, and you tied Canada, Natalie won her 2 singles. So you dragged her down.
No, I heard that.
But you said no.
No, because the next match we played together and we got her first win of the competition, us together. And then I think she won another one in a singles that I watched go down with this girl who was a badass. And Natalie stayed in the fight the whole time. I think the other girl was one up on her basically the whole round. And Natalie waited till the last hole to stay in it and ended up getting a draw with this girl. But anyway, she did really good. We had Lee Williams, another first-time FPO with us, and we started calling her CT Lee because she was like out driving all the boys.
She throws far, actually. I've seen her throw. She throws far.
Yeah. So those two girls did really good their first time out, and it's just really cool to see the growth of the women's disc golf in the UK, because last year we only had one girl that could come. Or did come, and she had to play every single match.
Who was that?
That was your girl, Bella Tate.
But she was there this year as well, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was there this year, and she was kind of like, you know, the more experienced
elder stakes woman
on the team. Yeah, so she crushed it again. We had a nice doubles round together. But yeah,
we heard her screaming on one of your videos, actually.
Yeah. It's always fun playing with her. She's really pumped up, so she's a good support. Yeah. So yeah, the girls did really good. And then we had Matt, I think, won the most points on the team. I think he won 10 points, so he basically won all of his matches, essentially. I think he drew one in a doubles or something. So but,
does that put him as the number one Team Ace player? It's got to, I suppose, isn't it?
Look, don't make me go down this road. I'm going to keep it classy tonight. But no, he did really good. And throwing the new Pro Discus discs and some of these courses, or some, like most of the holes are in the woods and on the one course. And he was just hitting like really good lines with these new discs.
That's a good start then.
I think he's liking it. Yeah. Had James was the captain, playing all the MPO ones of every country, so he took a couple of beats, but he played really well. And then you had me and Noah just kind of hanging around.
Was Noah doing his usual of being the old head dad of the group?
No. I saw a photo and Noah was holding a beer.
Oh, is that with me?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh my god.
Did Noah get wasted?
I mean,
No, you saw the
photo.
He was holding a bottle of beer. That's all I can say.
No, actually,
was it gluten free?
No, it was alcohol
made from soybeans.
He had just gotten his A levels back, like while we were there, and he got like four.
Yeah,
A-stars.
I can imagine.
Dunsa Pro.
He's a clever lad, isn't he?
And so we're all sitting around, like, you know, after competition one day, we're like, Noah, if there's ever a time for you to have a beer, this is it. Like, the work is done. You got the results back. You couldn't have done any better. Celebrate with a beer. And he was just like, no. So anyway, I had the ace guys thinking that he was drinking with us that night. So I went and like grabbed, you know, Bella's beer next to him. I was like, put this in your hand. We're about to take a selfie. And I was like, act drunk. And he's like, how do I act drunk? And I was like, oh god. I was like, make a face and do like a hand gesture, like, ugh. And so he did, and I had Stan believing he was drunk for like maybe 2 seconds.
So he didn't drink a beer.
Nah, he was a good boy.
But did you have a good time though?
Yeah, so we stayed me and Ian McDougall and James stayed in the same room, so that was like
that's a fairly good room, that is, yeah.
Man, we just didn't stop laughing the entire week. It was hilarious.
I bet you were giggling like schoolgirls, weren't you?
Yeah. I owe Ian a pack of Rollies.
Why?
Because every time we got a few beers together, I'd be like, can I get one of those? And it ended up being like five a day, basically. And like, obviously, I can't roll for shit because I'm American and we never had to roll.
Could you roll it for me?
Yeah. And he was really nice about it. And then like the end of last day, I was kind of drunk. Like, competition was over. And so we were just like celebrating and then like watching the finals and stuff. And so I'm in the beer tent, and I was like, Ian, I was like, give me the pack. He's like, I can't have you do this. I'm going to roll it myself. And he watched me for about... He watched me for about 5 minutes and was just like, no, and just like grabbed it. He's like, I will not allow this. But anyway, he was a really good friend on the trip, and got to know him pretty well. And I got to know both those guys a little too well, because the shower, you know, you come out of the shower and I had this like baby little towel. I won't go into it any more than that, but
well, this is a thing, like, because like I was speaking in the office. Because I play cricket with one of the lads from work. And, like, I don't know if it's the same in America, but in the UK, if you're doing team sport or something, and me and Duff do it, I'll just get out of the shower and towel myself down, and, like, everything will hang loose. Like, I ain't bothered, like, and it's... Do you know what I mean? And Duff ain't bothered. Is that the same in America?
It just depends.
Like, I ain't bothered. It'll all hang loose. I know you well enough. It's one of them, like...
I don't know, when I go to the gym and stuff like that, like, and I went to baseball camp as a kid, and like all the kids were just like showering and like walk around, and I was just like, I don't need to shower.
This one time at baseball camp? I'm not.
Yeah. But yeah, anyway.
So you saw a little bit too much that you didn't want to say.
Yeah. We got closer than we wanted, but it was great. I would do it all over again.
Because you shared rooms, didn't you? But and beds, because there's only the one bed in there, you were saying. So it's just the three of you, top and tail.
It was in a heart shape as well.
No, that was just the jacuzzi, heart-shaped jacuzzi.
Right, excellent.
But yeah. Oh, quick shout out to Florian and Liam Pitt for being... 1,000 rated caddies all week.
They're both really good guys.
Yeah, I didn't know Liam going into this, but I knew Flo. Yeah. He's a star. Yeah. So, but yeah, they did great.
We had a laugh down at Essex, Dinton, of an evening. Obviously, can't go into it on the podcast, but let's just say we had a good time.
Nice.
Excellent. Right. So, you got anything else, Bowen?
No, I'm all newsed out, to be honest, Duff.
I've got a question to close things if we need something.
Go on.
If you really have to.
I mean, this is pretty obvious what I'm going to ask, I think. It being World's Week, what are your picks?
I don't really give a shit, to be honest, if I'm being truthful.
You're probably not even gonna watch it, and then you're gonna Google the results, and then you're gonna be like, "Oh yeah, Paige played great. She won. She made that hole.
Kristen's gonna win.
Okay, well yeah, I'll just give.
I think Kristen for the FBO. What about you, Josh?
I am picking. It's tough. It's a tough one. I think Kristen has a really, really good chance of winning. Also think Paige Pierce has a really good chance of winning.
Kristen's the best in the world.
That's true. Paige has more experience playing country club, but I don't think that really matters. It's pretty open, so it's like not too intricate. But yeah, I don't know. I find it hard to not pick Paige on the fact that she's won it 5 times. And that she's a little bit upset from last year, I would assume. And maybe she's been putting in the work for it this year. Sounds like she was trying to get out and practice two weeks early as well. So she's thinking about it. She's on it. So if she can hold Kristen off, I think she'll win it. But I think I am just going to pick Kristen. But yeah, I think it's going to be exciting. Because like as we've said in the past, like, the FPO field has gotten so competitive now that you really don't know who's going to win.
That's what you want now. That's what you want as a new club.
Yeah, we do.
You have a good idea of 5 players who could win it, I would say.
We know who's going to win. There's one player that's going to win, and she's the best in the world, and she's going to beat all the Americans.
I want Kristen to win.
I think that's all right.
So I will pick her, but I also think Paige could definitely win.
Yeah.
Sure, there's other people that could win, but I think that's going to be the two at the top.
I think that I think that's going to be the two at the top as well. Like,
I hope. That would be an epic battle if they're just like tag class.
I think, Kristen, I've spoken to Interchange team member Vanessa, she's feeling pretty good. She's feeling pretty confident. So hopefully, I don't think she's necessarily thinking she's got a chance of winning, but if she can do pretty well, which I feel like she's feeling pretty positive about,
top ten would be nice, wouldn't it?
So all fingers crossed, and obviously we hope she does. She does really well.
Okay, pick a dark horse for the FPO winner.
Evelina, is she in it? Is Evelina in it? Evelina.
If she gets some boxing together, she can do it.
Own. Is she competing?
Oh, yeah.
That's a good pick. Hayley King.
Hayley King's a good one, though, because if she gets on a heater, she could win it quite comfortably, couldn't she? Although she hasn't done much this year.
It's a big stage.
Yeah.
We'll see. Yeah. If she can mentally keep it together... She definitely has the ability.
What about MPO?
I like Owen, though. MPO, I'd love Paul to win it for a sixth time. Yet again.
You would, wouldn't you?
Don't think he's going to do it. I'm going with Simon Lazat.
Yes.
Final
answer. Imagine that, though, Bowen. Two Europeans going over and taking worlds.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say.
Even though they won't let any other countries hold world championships, it has to be always in America.
I think Simon's one of the nicest blokes in disc golf as well. So, and it's good to see him.
I like Simon as well,
and he's doing really well.
And he's won three events this year, and it's like he's been in the game so long. The dude deserves a world title.
Yeah. Yeah.
It would be nice. It would be nice to see. The only bad side to that is how many tribute series discs Discmania publish and produce, and how much they hype it up.
I'll tell you. I won't buy any of them, but I'll buy one of each.
I'm gonna go with Ricky. Obviously, I feel like he's starting to claw back a bit now. He's been there or thereabouts last few tournaments, and I feel like he's getting into a bit of form at the right time, and I feel like...
I mean, he just won Ledgestone, so...
Oh, I didn't mention Ledgestone, to be fair.
You don't like Nate Heinold, though, so...
Yeah, so I feel like he's hitting form at the right time. So, be interesting to see how it plays out, but...
Have you watched his prep for Worlds video? Just on YouTube. He looks like...
He's ready for it.
He's definitely on in form.
But obviously, they'll want him to win, though, won't they? Being a Dynamic Discs home course. And so there's quite a bit of pressure on it. I mean, he won DDO, though, didn't he, there as well?
Yeah, he has.
This year.
So he's won the course
already this year, and
who came second and third?
I can't remember.
You know?
Is that when
the last hole he went? It was over the baseball pitch. Do you remember that one? I think Calvin came second. I think because he threw one that skidded up off the road and back onto the fairway because he had to like really go for it. It's either him or Carl Klein. I can't remember which.
I feel like Carl Klein.
Maybe it was Carl Klein. I just remember somebody throwing and it skimming off the road, like maximum distance, and just about making it up over the curb to get back in bounds. Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
So.
I don't really know John Supreme that well anymore.
But that's. I hope he wins, and I feel like he's got a very good chance, being as though he's hitting some decent form at the right time. So, but as we said with the females. The men's division is so open that you could pick 20 players and none of them win it. It could be somebody, do you know what I mean?
And it just so happens that the event is called Worlds, so it's just like one tournament and whoever's hot that
week.
We
said this last year, didn't we?
It's not yet. Do you have to get... Is this the one that you have to qualify for?
No.
Is that USDGC?
Oh, that's USD. Yeah, so it's just...
I imagine there is qualification processes involved. I don't imagine you could sign up for it with your newfound forehand and compete in it.
No, exactly. I agree. But, like, it's not as even as if you've got to achieve something to do it. Like, so we could hold a tournament and call it the World Championships.
Yeah.
So we got Simon, Ricky, and Bowen. Who you think's going to take down the MPM?
I agreed with you, Simon. I did, to be fair. Yeah. But then Duffy puts a strong case to Ricky. Like, I don't think Paul McBeth's been off the boil. We say this and people tend to win.
It's just
He's very capable of putting a performance together to win, isn't he? So...
Exactly.
Which goes back to what I'm saying about the being, you could pick 20 players who you think are going to win and none of them will actually win. Like, it's that open a field that it's almost impossible. I wouldn't be betting money on it either way.
I think there's like 5 or 6 people who you could pick and one of them is
going to
win.
I disagree. I think we've seen now that there's winners from everywhere. You make a case for Isaac Robinson. I mean, you wouldn't pick him. But why wouldn't he go down and get a win? Like, there's so many people on the fringe of what you'd consider the elite level of the sport, and who could easily put a performance together and win. I think that's my opinion anyway. But
how many winners have there been this year though? 6 or 7?
Yeah, but you wouldn't. There's a lot of winners in the big events that you wouldn't have picked. They wouldn't be in your top 20.
But it's still like, there's only been 6 or 7 winners, so you'd probably say that one of them's going to win it.
Oh, we'll see. We'll see.
Dark Horse, MPO.
Brody Smith.
He's the Dark Horse. Yes. It's not happening, but okay. Duff?
Nate Sexton.
Nah.
Really?
Nah.
Nah.
My dark horse. Go on, have you got one?
Corey Ellis.
Ah.
He could do it. I think he's the most consistent MPO player this year.
Yeah.
But he hasn't won, I say. But I suppose that's why it's my dark horse.
I'm going to go with Gannon Burr.
Yeah, that's a good shout.
I'm going to go with Gannon Burr, I think. I think he's had a good season.
He could do it if there's time.
If they allow a minute and a half a shot. I think it's going to be a class tournament, and I'm really looking forward to it. The only thing I do hope is that there's not an amazing shot at the end of it like there was last year, so that the Disc Golf Network can just repeat that shot on every single advert.
Well, surely at least it'd be a new shot.
I feel like I've seen the James Conrad shot, as good as it was, about a gazillion times now.
Yeah, I'd like to try to skip through it now if I see it popping up.
Just do what I do and don't watch any of the Disc Golf Network.
You can see him being in a meeting trying to come up with new advert ideas, and they're going, right, does it have to have the greatest shot of all time in it? Yeah, no, it does. That every advert has to have that features on the network.
I just hope, I'm glad they're getting a second run on the course, because the first one was so brutal with the wind. It just wasn't even fun to watch. So I'm hoping the wind is like, you know, it's Kansas. It's going to be a little bit windy, but that was ridiculous. So I'm hoping it's like semi-normal for Jones Supreme at least.
Where did I have Worlds last year? Where was it last year?
The Fort. Is that Utah?
So the Worlds can be at any course
as long as it's in the US of A.
In the world. Yes. Well, yeah.
Which I imagine there's probably, before we were involved in the sport, that it used to be. It has been in other countries.
Oh, yeah.
But before Sammy corrects us. But it's been, certainly been in US of A for the last few years, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Right.
Mate, I'm just wondering whether we could make a run for holding the world somewhere in the UK, lads, us three.
Maybe.
The thing is, you need two massive courses, kind of close to each other.
Quarry Park and Gillies.
And enough infrastructure to support the amount of people that would be there.
What about Quarry Park and Arrow Valley? Gillies?
Yeah, that I'm sure.
As much as we love Arrow Valley, I don't quite think it's championship level course.
They want a bunch of 60-meter holes what? Just back-to-back.
Well, Gillies has opened the new... They've opened the new course, so you could have it.
So do two rounds of 11 holes for the first day at Gillies.
No, round because they've opened the new course.
I think it...
So all I'm saying is,
before we finish, because we're dragging on a bit now, all I'm saying is, I think it's disgusting that they're not allowed amateurs competing at World Championships. on that note, thanks.
You're trying to be a dickhead.
Thanks for sticking with us, even though Bowen was just waffling through most of the episode. Okie doke. So
that was a bollocks.
Thanks for listening, and we shall catch you next week. There's nothing from the shop specially to say. We may throw in a discount. I'm not sure yet. At some point. But as always, remember to keep it in the chains.
Keep it in the chains.
Keeping the chains. I've got a little plan, Duff, here. We can see how many people are paying attention. We could have a code that we only say on the podcast.
There we go, then.
And see if anyone
listeners
uses it.
Listeners only.
Do you want me to just insert it like halfway through the show? Just like record myself talking about it?
No, let's do it at the end.
The code is listeners only. And you'll get a special discount. Right, that's it. Done.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to In the Chains. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And if you like the show, please leave us a review. Make sure to check out our YouTube channel to view our round videos and course flythroughs. And hit subscribe there too. Until next time, keep it in the chains.
Free UC.